Welcome to the deep dive. So you've given us this fascinating stack of sources, all focused on Indonesian professional vocabulary.
That's right.
But we're definitely not doing this standard phrasebook thing today.
No, absolutely not. This deep dive, it really has one mission: cut through all that noise and give you the high utility, the structural vocabulary you actually need, to sound informed, competent, fully engaged, whether you're in, say, academic or corporate life over there.
We're looking for the blueprints. The
Yeah.
blueprints of how sophisticated conversation actually works in that context.
Exactly, blueprints. I like that.
And they are fascinating blueprints. I mean, the sources we're drawing on today, they come from a pretty detailed professional language review.
Okay.
And it's centered on things like campus life, conflict resolution, and career development. So for you, the learner, this isn't just about, translating random nouns.
It's about getting a grip on the linguistic architecture, the connecting words, specific verb forms, the things that really govern how you talk about accountability, about change management, especially when the topics get complex.
So it's fluency in the concept, not just a direct word-for-word thing. We need to understand the subtle shifts these words create.
Precisely. Yeah, the review really emphasized that conversational flow, especially in a professional setting, it leans heavily on having efficient connectors and these context-specific
Get
verbs.
those right, and the rest sort of falls into place.
That's the idea. Master those, and you're well on your way. Okay, let's unpack this. Let's start with, well, where every professional day kind of begins. Communication makes sense.
The source has highlighted a difference in how we talk. We often learn the formal verb first, but the review really pushed ungobrol, that's ungobrohl, to chat.
Yeah.
Why focus on the informal there? Why is that so high utility?
Well, because in a lot of Indonesian professional settings, honestly, especially if you're managing teams or, say, counseling students, efficiency and rapport, they're just key. Ngobrol gives you that sense of a collaborative, less formal exchange, and that often gets communication flowing better than the purely, let's say, transactional Bicara, BCHA, HRA.
Which just means to speak generally.
Right, to speak or to talk. So if you want to actually build a relationship with a colleague or a student, you gobrol with them. It implies a bit more back and forth.
That makes sense. Yeah, efficiency speeds up the connection. And speaking of connection, the sources really, they hammered home the difference between the ways we say with. We've got sama and bersama, bersama.
Ah, yes, this is critical, especially for understanding formality levels. Both mean with or together, basically. But in professional communication contexts, the review pretty much treats sama as the go-to high-utility choice for just everyday team collaboration, general discussion.
So you'd say something like, "Aku harus ngobrol sama mereka."
Exactly. Aku harus ngobrol sama mereka. I have to talk with them. Simple, direct.
And bersama. What's the feel there?
It carries a much heavier feel, more formal, often more suited to writing. So if you're describing like a formal joint venture, or maybe writing a memo about institutional cooperation, or perhaps speaking at a board meeting about planning something jointly, then you use bersama.
But for just day-to-day getting things done.
For day-to-day coordination, efficient communication really pushes you towards sama, or even the doubled form sama-sama. Using bersama in, say, an informal group chat would just sound, well, unnatural, overly stiff.
Right, you'd stick out. Okay, so if we want that conversational efficiency, we also need speed when we're expressing like disconnection or negation. The source material gave a great shortcut here using the informal negative ga or enga.
Oh, yeah, indispensable. Absolutely key for conversational flow. Instead of the more formal T-deck, these informal negatives are just used constantly.
Like in the example they give, yeah, the review cited. They don't talk to each other. Knowing ga lets you participate in those quicker professional back and forth without sounding like you're reading from a grammar book.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered linking people, professional entities. Now let's shift to linking ideas, specifically cause and effect. If I need to professionally justify a decision or an action, which connective did the review highlight as like the most immediate and efficient?
That would definitely be Sonya, Sohnya, means because. Now, sure, there are more formal ways like Karina, but Sonya is really the go-to structural word for explaining why you did something conversationally.
So if I'm, I don't know, explaining in an email why the team picked a certain vendor, I can use Sonya.
Absolutely, yeah. It's practical, it's direct. The source material had that perfect little example, didn't it? Explaining an action. having pizza Sonia, he returned to Australia.
Right, a casual professional scenario.
Exactly. It's that conversational connective that just keeps the momentum going without getting bogged down in overly formal grammar.
And, okay, what about risk assessment or planning? That's obviously essential everywhere. The language of uncertainty must come into play.
For sure. For just general uncertainty, you're going to rely on Munk and Munkeen. That's your maybe or probably.
Okay.
And then, critically, you have to master the conditional structures. The review highlighted jika and kalau jika kalau. Both mean if.
So jika, we meet the deadline. Kalau, the funding comes through.
Precisely. These are like the linguistic hinges you need for discussing contingencies. They're the scaffolding for any kind of complex argument or negotiation, really. That definitely sets the stage. Let's shift gears now into segment two, the academic and professional toolkit. This bit is all about career application, institutional roles.
Right. If we're talking about growth, personal or professional, the sources pinpointed one core concept as like the fundamental goal.
Yeah, that concept is personal development.
Okay.
In the academic sources especially, this was really the underlying objective for lecturers, for students. It's not passive, it's framed as an active mandate.
And the key figures working on that goal, you mentioned lecturers, the Dusan D.O.H. Sen, what actions define their professional lives besides just teaching?
Well, they're involved in continuous professionalization,
okay.
Right? So they might purchase a cursus, K-O-R-S-U-S, that's a course,
right, okay.
Or attend a conferenzi, confe, R-A-H-N-C, a conference. These are nouns that immediately place you right in that higher education context.
And for the student side?
For student development, a really critical administrative goal mentioned was getting a student into a magang or a hgong, an internship.
Got it. Magang. Now, I noticed something. Regardless of whether you're talking about an internship or a development plan or just some admin duty, the review kept coming back to one essential option verb. It seemed like the Swiss Army knife of professional tasks.
Ah, you mean menger jakan and meno gdhr jakan?
That's the one.
Yeah, you're right. It means to work on or to execute a task. This might actually be the single most important verb in the entire review. It's transitive, and it applies to basically any scenario where you're performing an action or a task.
Can you give us a practical contrast? Like, how is it different from just saying, I work?
Sure. So if you just want to say, I am working in general,
yeah.
You might use the basic verb kerja. But if you're talking about I am working on the application, or she is working on her personal development plan, you really must use menger jakan.
Ah, okay. It implies focus on a specific thing.
Exactly. You menger jakan the report, menger jakan the task. It implies that deliberate, focused completion of an assigned or chosen item. It covers everything, really, from admin stuff like handling QT, HOT, which is leave.
Right, like annual leave.
Yeah, exactly. That, all the way to complex academic projects. It's incredibly versatile.
That really clarifies why it's so high utility. Okay, now we'll pivot slightly to the source's discussion on professional temperament and conflict resolution. When authority figures need to step in, stop an action, what vocabulary pops up?
The key action there is melarang, L-A-H-rong, to forbid.
Okay, sounds serious.
It is. It's a powerful, often formal verb. You'd see it in policy documents or hear it from high-level authority.
Wow.
And the source has also touched on the human side of conflict.
Right.
If a situation leads to a really strong negative reaction, you might describe someone as super mara super, M-A-H-ra, literally super angry.
Super angry.
Got it.
And when describing colleagues, maybe faculty members, how did the review characterize, say, ideal versus maybe challenging temperaments?
Well, the ideal, the goal often is to be Rama, R-A-H-ma. That's friendly, approachable, warm, you know, qualities essential for good collaboration.
Makes sense.
And on the flip side, a challenging trait mentioned was being kuno ko no. That means old fashioned.
Ah, like stuck in the past.
Exactly. I think the sources mentioned one Dusan, one lecturer, who insisted on printed memos, avoided digital communication altogether.
Oh, wow.
That was like the perfect professional illustration of being kuno, behind the times. And that, of course, can really slow down productivity.
Definitely provides great context for describing the people involved.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move into segment three. This focuses on management, accountability, and the environment. And this is where I think that structural verb knowledge becomes really vital because it starts assigning agency.
Yes, this distinction is absolutely crucial. And honestly, it's one of the more structurally complex bits in the language review. We're looking at two really distinct verbs for change or shift.
Okay.
We have Munguba, Mengubieh, and Baruba, Betuba.
Munguba and Baruba. And the difference is what?
Agency. Who or what is doing the changing? Munguba is transitive.
Meaning me.
Meaning you are actively changing something. It requires an actor, an agent. So if the management committee Munguba the policy, they are the accountable actors doing the changing.
Okay. And Baruba.
Baruba, conversely, is intransitive. It describes something that is changing kind of on its own, a simple shift in state, often without a clear actor specified.
So if the manager Munguba the schedule itself, Baruba.
Exactly, you got it. And this distinction, it reflects a really deep linguistic emphasis on accountability. You can see how in a professional memo, choosing the wrong form could subtly shift the focus.
Away from management, who did the changing?
Right, away from management, who Munguba the policy, maybe towards the policy itself, which just Baruba happened to change.
Wow, okay, that's a nuance that really speaks volumes about who's taking responsibility.
It does, and the sources specifically highlighted this when discussing things like workplace atmosphere or, you know, the vibes. You actually need both verbs to fully discuss how a professional Lingkungan an environment is shaped.
Okay, moving into the professional mandate of guiding people, whether it's students or employees, the sources outline some very direct communication expectations.
Yeah, the lecturer's duties involved really clear communication verbs. They needed to kasitao u.
Which means?
Tell them, inform them. And also, crucially, actively, mendengar mennu dhn jo, to listen.
So it shows a mandate for like a two-way street, not just top-down information flow.
Exactly. A two-way, not purely hierarchical flow of information. But, you know, the most profound takeaway from the sources, I thought, especially looking at professional conflict resolution, it wasn't about specific words necessarily. It was about the spirit of the professional duty. The tugas, or pikirjan tugas, pikirjaanan, the job itself.
What was the core idea there?
This really felt like the cornerstone of the professional material we looked at. The core duty of lecturers, or really any professional guide, is not to menya elahi the students.
Not to blame them.
Exactly, not to blame them. Instead, the focus must be on creating a supportive lingkungan, an environment that is menyinspirasi mengin inspiras, inspiring.
Ah, that's a significant shift.
It really is. That insight just shifts the whole focus away from finding fault.
Mm-hmm.
Towards professional facilitation. It defines a much more proactive, supportive management style.
Okay. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, I thought. This blend of professional facilitation accountability. It requires not just linguistic skill, but sometimes technical capability, too. The review included this highly specialized batch of technical vocabulary
mm-hmm.
used for what? Illustration work? Data presentation?
Yeah, exactly. It demonstrates that professional vocabulary isn't always just confined to meetings and memos, right? It extends into presentation, visual communication.
What kind of terms?
Well, we noted terms like gradient, gradi, E-A-H-N, that's a gradient.
Okay.
And garis, G-A-H, rees, which is line, and bentuk shape. I mean, if you're presenting a new campus design concept or maybe a data visualization to stakeholders, you actually need these terms for clarity.
And the inclusion of a specific color.
Yeah.
Biru electric, B-E-U, A-L-E-K-trick, electric blue.
Yeah, that specific detail really anchors the language firmly in like modern technical presentation, whether it's the color palette for a corporate brand refresh or the specific design elements of a new admin proposal. These specialized terms are essential when you're discussing design and visual representation.
It's a good reminder that professional communication is often multimodal, not just words.
Definitely.
So, okay. Wrapping this up, what does this all mean? We've definitely moved way past simple tourist phrases here. We've focused instead on the language of, well, professional accountability.
It means, hopefully, that you're now better equipped to master not just words, but conversational flow and structural precision. You can efficiently link people and reasons using those high-utility words like sama and sonya.
Right.
And maybe most importantly, you're more prepared to discuss accountability using that critical professional verb set centered around mengerjakan to execute a task and understanding that structural difference between menguba, active change, and baruba, passive shift.
And we learned today that success in that professional environment, it's often defined by that core duty, the tugas, and making that proactive choice to foster in lingkungan, an environment that's inspiring, ninginspirasi, rather than just resorting to blame to menyalahi.
A much more constructive approach, absolutely. We also learned the absolute importance of menggerjakan to work on any task, big or small. So here's the final thought for you, the listener. Now that you have this more advanced vocabulary to discuss career progression, responsibility, what specific area of your own personal development, your pengenbongendary, are you ready to menggerjakan next?
Yeah, a good challenge. Put it into practice. Yeah. Maybe focus on incorporating just one new structural word this week. See how it feels.
A fantastic deep dive into professional Indonesian structural vocabulary. Thanks for walking us through that.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you next time on The Deep Dive.